Good morning. I want to once again welcome everyone to the introduction call to Helping Homeless Veterans. My name is Melanie Lilliston, and I'm with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. We are going to, today during this call, I'm going to provide some basic information on homeless veterans and the services that are available to them, and also offer some ways that your organization can help expand services to assist veterans, either through your organization or by accessing some resources within your community. If you did not receive the handouts, you can download those from our website. Our website is www.nchv.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see the conference call link. When you click on that, you'll be able to download the materials under the heading for this particular call. I will be taking questions at the conclusion of this call. If for some reason you do need to unmute your line before the call has completed, before I've finished my presentation, it's *7 to unmute your line. We should have plenty of time to answer as many questions as possible. If for some reason I don't, I will be able to give you my contact information, and you can contact me in the next couple of days as well. So I would first like to kind of give a general overview on some of the definitions and key facts that relate to homeless veterans. One of the most important things that your organization or individuals working with veterans should understand, in particular with the homeless population, is the federal definition. If you look on slide 2, this is the official federal definition. And for individuals who are homeless to fully access resources available to them, they must fit into this definition. I'm going to go ahead and read this so that way you'll have a pretty good understanding of what I'm talking about. This is an individual who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence or has a nighttime residence that is supervised, publicly or privately owned shelter designed to provide temporary living accommodations. That's pretty self-explanatory. That's someone who's living in a shelter or somewhere that is not set up to have more permanent type housing. An institution that provides a temporary residence for individuals intended to be institutionalized, or a public or private place not designed for or ordinarily meant as a regular sleeping accommodation for human beings. These would include your park benches, your street corners, all of the places you typically or routinely see homeless individuals. The one thing that is not included is someone that may be in the area, or as we call the couch surfers, meaning I'm staying on my brother's sofa or in a guest bedroom at someone's house. Technically, they're not considered homeless because they are in a home, but they are not the ones that either own or have permanent access to that residence. So when you are dealing with and when you're talking about homeless veterans, we're talking about the individuals that fit entirely into these definitions. This is the federal definition, and it's the one that's used by most organizations. And in most instances, it will determine if an individual is eligible for services within most instances, the VA, HUD, and some of the other federal agencies. Some of the key facts in regards to homeless veterans. On any given night, there are roughly 131,000 homeless veterans on the streets. These numbers and these statistics are taken from the VA Challenge and some of the other studies that the VA has funded over the past couple of years. So on any given night, we're seeing around 131,000 homeless veterans on the streets. This number has decreased steadily over the past couple of years. However, it still ranks as a very high number. And as you can see in the second bullet point, male veterans are typically 1.3 times more likely to become homeless, and female veterans are roughly 3.6 times more likely to become homeless than their non-veteran counterparts. So there is a high proponency of results of people who are veterans that they do end up homeless more than those who have not served in the military. Some of the reasons we'll go in a little bit more detail, but it can be said that veterans are more likely to become homeless. Veterans also represent roughly 26% of the homeless people, but only 11% of the civilian population 18 years and older. So you see a high percentage of veterans within the homeless population, while they make up a small percentage of the general population. A large number of veterans live with post-traumatic stress disorder and addictions, usually acquired or exacerbated by their military service, which leads to the need for intensive case management and services after they return from their deployment. They also lack family and social networks due to the lengthy service periods away from their communities of origin, also because they may have addictions and some of the PTSD disorders. It may alienate them from other people in their community, which leads to a sense of not belonging and their inability to relate and become productive within a community. And, of course, as we all know, government money is limited and serves, on average, 1 in 5 of veterans in need, or about 20%, and typically this is done through your VA healthcare systems and the benefits that are offered there. Veterans are typically older, better educated, and also sicker. We are seeing returning veterans coming back. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're younger. We are seeing a changing population with the current conflict. However, statistically looking, the majority of your veterans are still falling into the older category and are starting to have more frequent health issues in regards to as someone does age. One thing to keep in mind is that you need to address the entire spectrum of services and needs for veterans. Some of the key facts here lead to, and the next slide that I'm going to talk about, is the services that veterans need. Based on some of the reasons and some of the outcomes that do come into play with veterans, when we talk about services that veterans need, it's a coordinated effort to provide secure housing and nutritional meals. In addition, we're talking about health care, substance abuse, aftercare, and mental health counseling, your AA, your NA meetings, those types of things, and also personal development and empowerment. These are very important and are vital in a person's ability to incorporate back into society and become productive. You've also got, and one of the things that need to be taken into consideration, job development, training, and placement assistance if employment is something that is a possibility for veterans. It's vital that you have a holistic approach to working and providing services that usually works best because you're able to serve the whole entire needs spectrum. Often you'll see programs with veterans serving veterans. They're able to relate. They can work with them, and they can say, you know, I understand where you've been, have a better sense, and they are able to relate to the types of situations and such that they have been in. Intensive case management and commitment of clients is key. You've got to be able to have the buy-in of the people that you're serving. If you don't, they're not going to be and are not going to be willing to successfully participate and engage into the program. This means that you should involve them within the case management and program design of their each individual service plans. They should buy in and they should be an active participant within those, and that your case managers should value their input and encourage them to be an active participant within their treatment plans. Keep in mind that when you're talking about veterans services in general, you usually want to focus on three factors that contribute to homelessness: health issues, both mental and physical, economic, which include employment issues, and housing, both transitional for immediate relief off the street and permanent housing, if that includes supportive services or not, but something long-term, so that way you can ensure that you're able to and provide the services that are most needed by veterans. So, as I said, usually going to focus on three key factors when you're working with veterans: health, economic, and housing. Moving on, now that we've had a little bit of general overview of veterans and statistics and just some background on the services and things that are often requested and needed most by veterans, I want to talk in a little bit of detail about the federal programs that are offered for homeless veterans. Now, there are quite a few programs that are offered for homeless individuals in general. Specifically, these are the ones that are targeted for and only available to homeless veterans. So these are the ones that if you're working with the veteran population, you want to focus in on and really think about applying for or utilizing within your community. These are the Department of Veterans Affairs Grant and Per Diem Program, the Department of Labor Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, the HUD-VASH Program, and Stand Down Events. So I'm going to go into detail with these a little bit more, but keep in mind if your organization does not have access to these funds or are not receiving these funds within your community, you can always refer your veterans that you may be working with to the programs that are receiving these funding, or you can also see if they would like to partner with you and work together and collaborate to provide services for veterans in your community. So just because you're not receiving funds to offer services under these grants doesn't mean that you can't refer individuals to these programs in order to get assistance. So the first program that I'm going to talk about is the Grant and Per Diem Program. This is, as I stated, offered by the Department of Veterans Affairs. It provides for transitional housing and services to veterans. It includes up to 65% of approved capital costs. Capital costs include construction, rehab, and renovation of a building. There's two different levels of funding, funds available for capital or per diem. So capital is the construction piece. Per diem is the cost, the daily rate that you will receive to provide housing and services to veterans, supportive services to veterans in your program. This is a competitive grant process, usually offered once a year. There was a capital grant offered in the early spring. They will be making an award announcements probably within the next couple of weeks. There currently is not funding available. There is not an open competition available for the grant in per diem at this point in time. Most likely the next round of grants will be offered in 2010. There is a small possibility that there will be a per diem only this fall, maybe October, November timeframe, but we don't know and do not have knowledge of that beforehand at this point. So I would encourage those who are looking for and would like to look ahead to 2010 for the next round of funding. Eligible organizations are nonprofits and public agencies, and you must fall into that category in order to be eligible. The process is such that it is a competitive grant application. It's usually about six weeks once the announcement comes out that the due date is going to pass. And once the due date passes, it's about 120 days until award announcements are made. So we're right at that point right now. So award announcements will probably be made, like I said, in the next couple of weeks. The goal of the program is to help homeless veterans, primarily those living in places that fall not ordinarily meant for human habitation or in emergency shelters, to those who fall under the federal definition of homeless veterans. And the goals are to help veterans achieve residential stability, increase their levels and or income, and obtain greater self-determination. It's important that your organization fully understands what these goals are and think through what they mean in your program design, because the goals are reflected throughout the entire application package and is the main selection criteria for these applications. So keep in mind that everything that your program does and is designed to do must fit within these three goals. As I mentioned, there are two different sections, the capital and the per diem. The per diem is a daily rate of around $34 per veteran enrolled in your program for housing and services. That's the key thing with the grant and per diem program. Two things to keep in mind is it's for transitional housing up to 24 months, and it's for housing and services. You must provide both in order to be eligible to receive funds underneath this grant. The second grant is the Department of Labor HVRP program, which is the Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program. This is an employment-focused grant that allows and it is focused on reintegrating homeless veterans into meaningful employment within the labor force and to stimulate the development of effective service delivery systems. Essentially, what you're going to be doing is helping veterans receive and get the training they need to ensure and obtain employment. The most important thing here is that this is for employment. Housing is not an allowable cost underneath this grant. The HVRP program allows you to use funds to provide assistance to veterans and get and obtain the employment piece. The objectives of this are to provide services to assist in reintegrating homeless veterans into meaningful employment within the labor force and to stimulate the development of effective service delivery systems that will address the complex problems facing homeless veterans. So you're trying to break down those barriers of employment that are often in place when you're talking with homeless veterans. The ultimate goal of this program is full-time employment. So if you're working with individuals that will be enrolled in this project, you're looking for those who will be in full-time employment. And once again, this grant will only pay for employment services, your resume writing, your job skills, all of those things, interview, those types of things that come into play. It does not cover housing. However, you must link your project with housing. So it's a joint combination, but only able to pay for employment services. Now, those are the two specific grant programs that are available to organizations and or agencies within your community. The next ones I'm going to talk about are a little bit different. These are offered by the federal government, and they are available to and offered to veterans to participate within their community. HUD-VASH, which is the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Program, voucher program. It is a voucher program that is offered through HUD and the Department of Veterans Affairs. It is a joint partnership between the two agencies, and it is centered around case management offered to veterans in conjunction with a housing voucher. So the case management is offered and given through the VA. They also determine eligibility. So if you're looking to see if your community has any vouchers or looking to refer veterans, you want to refer them to the VA first. The case managers there will determine if they're eligible to receive HUD-VASH, and if so, then a referral will be made to the local housing authority. So it's a joint partnership between the two. VA monitors and does the case management. Your local housing authority will provide assistance within the housing arena. This is a national program, and there are these new vouchers different from ones that have been in circulation over the past years. So I encourage you to contact your local VA, and they can help determine if a veteran is eligible and steer them in the right direction. This voucher is given to the veteran and their family. So unlike other voucher systems, the voucher equivalent in size is based on the veteran's family size. So that is important and one of the key differences between some of the other voucher programs that the voucher is given to the veteran and their family. So keep in mind, VA determines eligibility and the local housing authority with the recommendations from the National HUD office, we'll do the housing piece. Stand-downs are 1 to 3 day events hosted locally. This is where services are provided to homeless veterans and their families at one location. Some of the biggest stand-down are 3 day events taking place over a weekend, where all services that a veteran might need are brought to one location, often an old either a park, a school, somewhere where you can have a large congregation of people. You have tents where people will sleep. You will have programs, showers, food, AA meetings, NA meetings. You'll have clothing, clothing options. You'll have employment opportunities, health care. haircuts, all of the things that an individual coming off the street would need, but in one location. I like to call it a one-stop shop, like almost like a shopping mall for homeless veterans. All of the services that they may need to access will be provided in one location. We do have a list of these on our website. On the left-hand side of our toolbars, the bottom, there's a stand-down link, and you can see a listing of all of the programs that are being offered starting now forward that are being offered this year. This is often a good entry point for those needing services, showing them that they can access and do have access to services within their community. You can partner with other organizations. So if your organization is not able to or does not have the staffing capacity to provide services, to provide the whole entire plan of a stand down, you can partner and are definitely encouraged to partner with other groups within your community and provide services and provide assistance. There is some funding available from the Department of Labor for the funding of stand-down programs within your community. It is based on the size and the number of days that your program will be offered, but you can ask for a budget up to $10,000 for the three-day event, which can be a pretty good chunk of your overall budget. The information can be downloaded on the Department of Labor's website, and we'll put that link up on our website as well when we post the note. But this is a great resource for those of you who are looking for some funds to offset your stand-down event. There is also a stand-down manual available as well, and it has some information about the program design and how to go about starting one up in your community. So a stand-down is a great place often for an individual in your community to learn more about the resources that are available, but it's also a great way for organizations to learn and see what else is being offered within your community and learn to partner with those groups as well. One of the last slides I'm going to talk about here is the challenge study that is done by the VA each year. Challenge stands for the Community Homeless Assessment and Local Education and Networking Group. This was started in 1994 by the VA, and they do an annual study that assesses the needs of homeless veterans. It's vital that you understand the local issues within your community. The challenge report allows organizations to learn more about what the greatest needs of the veterans in your community are, as well as just the numbers of veterans that are in your community. This is a place that you can start to learn about the needs and have a good understanding of what veterans and services are requesting throughout your local community. And it's also a way to learn and see what you should be focusing on when you're doing your program design. So if you're not involved with this, I highly encourage you to do that. But if you're looking to start out and you're trying to figure out what your program should focus in on, the challenge report is one of the first things that your organization should take a look at because it provides the information on your local community, number of homeless veterans, as well as the greatest number of services that are requested. So moving forward, how can your organization or how can you get involved in helping veterans within your community? As I mentioned, download the challenge report, research the needs of your community, and see how you can help address those needs. Do you have a unique ability to offer employment training? Do you have access to, housing? What is it that you can offer that can augment what is needed within your community? I encourage you to find out who your grant per diem liaison and the homeless veteran service coordinators are. These two individuals will often provide referrals to your program. They also can assist veterans who are needing services within your community. They can determine eligibility for veteran status, and they are at each one of your local medical centers. So find out who they are, in particular your homeless veteran service coordinator, because that individual will make the referrals to your program and also can be of assistance in providing the ability to ensure that they have their eligibility requirements met. The Grant Per Diem Liaison is the local contact for your Grant Per Diem program. If you're thinking about applying for this program in the future, I highly recommend that you go ahead and meet with and start talking with this individual. They're your local contact. They will give you access to some of the zoning requirements. They're also the ones that are going to ultimately look at your reporting and those types of things. So it's very, very important that they know who you are and what services you're offering in your community. They will also provide a letter of support for your application. The more they know about you, the more they will be able to write about you. And the sooner you get to talk with them, the more that you can help create and encompass that, grow that relationship you do have with them. Also contact in regards to employment. Contact your local one-stop employment offices, your DVOPs and your LVERs, your Disabled Veterans Outreach Program Specialists, and your local Veterans Employment Representatives. These are good resources that are offered at each one of your local one-stops. They are focused in, and their entire job is to look for employment opportunities within the community for veterans. So they are veteran-focused, they are only available to veterans, and they are a good resource in regards to how to obtain and get employment for veterans. You don't need to have the HVRP grant to access these individuals. The same thing with the Grant Per Diem Liaison and the Homeless Veteran Service Coordinators. Those people work at their agencies to provide services and support for homeless veterans. So those are some of the things that your organization can do to get involved. I would also mention getting involved with your local stand-down project. If you do have one in your community, finding out if they're looking for and when they're looking to do their program in the future, and see if there's a way that you can assist them in doing that. Once again, on the last slide here is my contact information. My email is mlillston@nchv.org. We do have a list of organizations on our website if you're looking to learn more about who is providing services within your community. That is available on our website. And I encourage you to take a look through there and see if you have or are working with those individual organizations to either access services or to help work with them and partner to collaborate in for future. That's available underneath Homeless Veteran Service Providers, locate a community-based organization. I would also encourage you to sign up for our listserv. You can do that on our website as well on the left-hand side towards the bottom of the page. This way you'll get notified of any grant funding that comes out as well as any private foundation funds that may become available. For instance, if a Grant Per Diem NOFA does come out in the next month or so, we will post it on our website and send it out through our listserv. So it's a great way to not only get funding opportunities, but resources and training opportunities as well. We'll provide all of that information to you in addition to posting it on our website. So hopefully this provided you with just a general overview of some of the services offered to homeless veterans and how your organization can access those, different levels either through grants or programs, and how to get more information about each one of those programs. I am going to go ahead and open up the call for questions. We do have a lot of people on the call today, so please be patient. We'll get to as many questions as we can, and I'll address as many as we can as we move forward. So if you do have a question at this particular time, it's *7 to unmute your line. So *7 to unmute your line. We are going to be posting the audio and the notes for these calls the next week or so. So we'll be sending that out via email, and you'll be have the opportunity to take a look at and access that information on our website. But *7 if there are any questions. No questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Hi. I would like to you to repeat. Pete, how do I find out who the local coordinator and liaison. How would I find out who that is?
You will call your local medical center and ask to speak with those individuals. We will also put a list of those available that we have on our website also.
Okay. And one more. You said something about the grant services. That you would be able to register to be notified? When
on our listserv, yes. On the left-hand side, if you put your email address to be signed up for our listserv, that way you'll be notified when the grants do come out.
You call that listserv?
It's our listserv, yes. Okay. We do it through email.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? *7 to unmute your line.
Yeah, Melanie?
Yes.
This is John Wazzy with Goodwill in San Jose, and, mm-hmm. and we are an HBRP grantee. But one issue we have needs with is transitional housing. Currently, we don't have our own housing, but we refer to other agencies here in the San Jose area, as well as working with local landlords who have housing that would like to turn it into transitional housing for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, could I qualify for a per diem grant to help veterans pay for transitional housing, or do I need to own the housing to apply for a per diem grant?
Well, per diem is housing plus services. So if in most instances, it's not if it's offered in a house, like in a just a normal house that they may end up owning. It's not offered in that situation. Per diem is for transitional housing for up to 24 months, and it's services plus housing. So you would have to have the case management and all of those things put together. So you would be eligible. Employment could be one of the things that you focus in on or offset some of the costs there. However, keep in mind that if someone is offering you or giving you housing, that the case management must go with it.
Okay. Well, since we are an HBRP grantee, we do have case management as part of our Department of Labor grant, and we provide counseling services, ongoing case management, as well as employment assistance, life skill training, all those kinds of things.
Right. So just the other thing to keep in mind is, yes, and that sounds right on task, but you can't ask for funding for, employment, maybe resume writing underneath HBRP. You can't also ask to pay for the same thing underneath grant per diem.
Okay.
So the services should complement each other, but they should not be duplicative. Like they both agencies just don't want to pay for the same thing that the other agency is paying
Great.
For.
Okay.
So there should be a separation of the two services offered.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie?
Yes.
I have a question. I'm in a small county of about 75,000 in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and I have run into the issue. I was trying to find out the number of homeless, but I couldn't find it. Do you have any suggestions?
Did you try your challenge report?
Yes, uh-huh.
And what? How far are you from the local medical center?
Well, I'm about an hour away.
Okay, the closest things that the closest number of statistics and the only thing that I would be able to suggest at this point besides census data would be your challenge data, because that's going to include your local county.
Uh-huh.
So that would be what I would suggest you take a look at. You can also pair that with some census data if that would, work either in your favor or not. But the only place that you could get in most instances are going to be from your challenge data. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. This is Terry with BayCare out in Pasco County, Florida.
Uh-huh.
We're actually in a pretty rural area,
mm-hmm.
just north of the Tampa St. Pete area.
Mm-hmm.
We got money for a stand down,
okay.
and we'll be holding our first stand down in January.
Okay.
When we get our date, how do we get on your website?
Sure. On our website, underneath the stand down section, there's a
yes.
form to be listed on there, as well as in our newsletters and those types of things. So there's just a form you fill out and send in, and we'll put you up there.
Okay. And the other thing is we're relatively new. Obviously, this is our first stand down.
Mm-hmm.
We're mainly a behavioral health center.
Okay.
We're looking at hopefully applying for the per diem portion.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, in the past, successfully obtained grants for housing. We currently run a housing for homeless people with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go for the housing first and then apply, you know, as well as the per diem, or should we just, would it behoove us to do that, or should we wait when we're down the line for the housing?
Well, per diem is housing plus services, so there's got to be the housing piece with the services you offer.
Oh, you don't do just the services.
No, you have to offer housing and services. But let me repeat. The grant and per diem is housing plus services. You can't have one or the other. You must have access to housing and provide housing and the supportive services that go with it. It's not one or the other.
Okay, I misunderstood then.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Sure.
Hi, I have a question.
Go ahead.
As far as the VAST program goes, when and how many vouchers will be issued when they're issued again, or is that a local question?
It is a local question. I believe it's posted on the HUD's website. I'll check and see, and if so, we'll put a link when we post the note. But it is done based on local need and availability of case manager and housing, you know, shortages and those types of things. But it is done locally.
And also on the DOL, the HVIP,
mm-hmm.
Does that include transportation?
It can include transportation, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, hi, this is Joan calling from Rockville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We have a transitional veterans housing program. And what we have a couple questions. The first one is for the capital grant. Can you use that to purchase existing building, or does it have to be brick-and-mortar construction? And second, does the population of the housing project have to be 100% veterans?
It can be for acquisition, construction, or rehab of a building. So if you're acquiring a building, then yes, that is fine. I would just make sure that you're going to fall into the fire and life safety codes that the grant per diem liaison could provide you, because sometimes they're often different than your local zoning and fire issue, fire type zoning things. They're all called something different. But your grant per diem liaison can give you the inspection requirements for a grant per diem project. And for a project that you're building, it has to be 75% veterans. So if you have a 100-bed facility, 75% of those 75 beds must be for veterans. The other 25 can be for spouses, children, whoever. However, VA will not pay for per diem costs for those beds.
And they do have to be a family or household member?
It doesn't. It could be whoever. It could be general homeless population,
okay.
Whoever it may be. It generally needs to fall into the homeless group. But it doesn't have to be connected to the veteran. It could be the general homeless population, or it could be individuals who may not a veteran that has a dishonorable discharge. So they wouldn't fall into the definition of a homeless veteran, but technically they may still be considered a veteran
okay.
in the eyes of your organization. But
okay.
75%.
Okay, very good. And what do you think are the possibility that there actually will be an individual per diem announcement through the NOFA in October? Have you heard any?
I haven't. Honestly, I don't. I'll say that and then it'll come out. But I don't have any inclination that it will.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's rare. What I'll say is this, and I don't mean to be vague, but I don't have any knowledge one way or the other. It's rare that there is two grant per diem, a capital and then a per diem in the fall. That's rare. Usually it's just a capital grant or a one round of funding in the spring, late winter, early spring time frame. It's rare to have two in one year.
We've been watching for the last couple of years, and we haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't. It's been a while. It's probably been about 3 years since I've seen it. So, like I said, I'll say that, and it'll come out next week. But it's rare that it'll happen.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But we will, as soon as we know, we will put it on our website and post it. So as soon as we know that it's definitely happening, we will make everyone known to that as well. Other questions? *7 to unmute your line.
Can you repeat your email again?
Sure. It's MLILLISTON.
T-O-N?
T as in Tom, O-N as in Nancy.
Okay.
At nchv.org.
Thank you.
Our phone number here is also 202-546-1969. If it's easier for you to call and ask the question that way.
Can you repeat that again?
202-546-1969.
Thank you.
Other questions? *7 to unmute your line. Okay, well, I want to be cognizant of everyone's time. If you do have questions that come up throughout the day or through the end of the week, I'd be happy to answer those either through email or via phone. If there are no other questions, I think we'll go ahead and conclude.
I have one more question. Do you have any other phone conferences coming up on veterans issues?
We do have a couple. All of our calls are focused in on veterans' issues and providing services to them. We do have some additional calls that are listed on our website that you can take a look at as well underneath the conference call section.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Yeah, Melanie.
Yes.
131,000 homeless veterans, is that in the United States?
Yes, that's a national number, yes.
Wow. That include Hawaii?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe so, yes. It's based on all of the VISNs or all of the medical centers that report numbers from the VA. So the VA has has facilities throughout the United States, so it includes all of them.
Thank you.
Melanie?
Yes.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something we can look at? Do you have anything specific to different areas? I'm in D.C. and was wondering if they have a count for the homeless veterans in D.C.
Your challenge report would have that information
challenge.
Done by locally. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you.
Your challenge report has your local statistics and numbers for each of your community, and that's the closest you're going to get unless somebody sponsors a local homeless number count, those types of things. So your challenge survey is the closest thing that you're going to get to reliable data for
How
your community.
How recent is that?
It's done each year.
Okay, thank you.
Melanie, if you could please, I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
We have the transitional housing available and also the services. Now, we're on the ground floor trying to get started here in Chicago. Now, you did say call the local medical center.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the local VA medical
mm-hmm.
center?
Your VA medical center, yes.
And that's how we can get started with who the coordinator is. And
that's correct.
All right, thank you.
Now, I will say this, and I might be wrong. Are you in the Chicago city limits?
Yes, ma'am.
Be real careful. There's a lot of issue when it comes to transitional housing, so you might want to take into consideration and talk to some other providers in your area because Chicago is one of those places that has a hard time with the transitional piece. So just from what I've experienced with working with them is there are a few transitional projects because the city won't approve them for a number of reasons.
What about Detroit?
Detroit, not as much, no. I just know Chicago is one of the cities that if you're within the city limits, transitional housing often is not approved because of their focus on more permanent type housing.
The zoning.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
We have to get zoned. Okay.
So check on that first before you move too far because I'm not aware of a project that's been approved for zoning recently.
So on the site, I could find out who is actually approved in Chicago. On your site.
Well, those are providers that are giving assistance. Doesn't necessarily mean that they are providing, you know, housing and services. It just means they're providing assistance in some capacity.
Okay.
You would probably need to talk to your local mayor or office along those lines and find out what their requirements for zoning are.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Chicago is one of the few places that I've experienced that have those issues. Everybody else should be fine. It's Chicago's is a unique thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. When you state that that you have to be offering housing and service, the services related to slide number 4, is that what you're stating, or do you have to have some, or do you have to have all of those services?
It's going
to
be based on the needs in your community. Yes, they should tie back to slide 4, but they should be focused on the veterans' needs in your community. It doesn't make sense for you to, let's say, perhaps provide intensive employment training if you have a community college that you could partner with or something's already being offered. The service piece is how your organization will fill in the gaps of how veterans are being provided services within your community.
So if you very good. If after reading the challenge report and you partner with a local community college or an entity within your local community, does that count as a service that you technically
yes.
are offering through that
yes,
partner?
Yes, because you're making the referral. That's correct.
Oh, great. Thank you. We need to know.
Mm-hmm. So the services are based on the needs of your community and how you're going to fill in those gaps. Don't provide services that somebody else is already doing. Don't duplicate, and don't try to create more issues when it comes to that. But the service piece is how you're going to fill in the gaps for homeless veterans. Any other questions?
Yes, hi. This is Joan again with Carpenter's Place in Rockford, Illinois. I was just looking at the challenge in Rockford, Illinois, which is located about 90 miles west of Chicago and about 90 miles south of Madison, Wisconsin, is not listed on the challenge as a recognized area. How do we get rated then for services that are needed in our area?
Medical center do you refer to?
Okay,
that's what you do. If your location is in between two medical centers, typically what I say is it's how you refer individual whatever medical center you're going to refer individuals to. However, if you make referrals to several, that's fine. You just want to include both of those in your numbers, and in most instances they're going to be similar. But that's the best way to do it is to take both of those into consideration.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, well, I want to thank everyone for their time, and please let me know if you do have any additional questions as the week goes on. My email address and phone number, once again, are 202-546-1969. And I appreciate everyone's time, and I wish everyone a great rest of their day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.